This whole episode is Sarah reminding Shane of who is in the league.
It's a primer about who is in the NHL because we're girls and we don't know. But
what are sports?
Hello, and we are back. Too Many Men podcast is in the house. Episode 19 is under record. I'm Allison Lucan, joined as always by the effervescent and dedicated Sarah Sivian. Sarah, how are you doing?
Ooh, you switched it up. I went first. I didn't know how to act.
It's 2.0, baby. It's a whole new energy.
I was like, this is such nice compliments. Wow.
She only hypes me up because she knows I need it. We are good over here. It has been so long since we did a podcast, so I miss you guys. When you said 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 to lead us off, I thought you were going to say 5, 6, 7, 8. And I was like, where are my tap shoes? All right. I'm doing good, though. How are you?
I'm good. And as always, the brilliant and dedicated Shayna Goldman. Shayna, say hi.
Hi.
It's great to be back. We missed you guys. Life got in the way. I had to take a vacation. But we are back. We didn't forget you, and we're so excited to return to form. And of course, returning to form means starting off with the illustrious shit list. There have been many candidates, my friends, while we were away, but we chose to highlight two in particular shitty things. Shayna, start us off with our first entry onto this week's shit list, please.
We're going to take you back a few weeks to an anti-straight discriminatory.
Oh my God.
What even is that word?
Yeah, Jeremy Roenick.
I'm anti-straight.
Yeah, please. Jeremy Roenick says that NBC discriminated against him and they're anti-straight because he was fired over, I don't know, saying things about having a threesome with his co-host, who is a woman and casual. And it's funny with him. If I remember correctly, when it first happened, he put out like a pretty good apology. And I was even like, wow, like good job. And then when he got fired, he put out a video and he was so petty and pissed off and acting like a child. And then he claimed also in it that they were pissed at him because he's a Trump supporter and like wanted to speak at one of his rallies, was kind of like, he wasn't told no, if I read it correctly, but they were kind of like, just know you work for NBC type thing. Like you know, you deal with the pushback, I would think, is the response. They probably didn't want him to do it, but they can't say no. But so he threw that in there too. So way to be a decent person, Jeremy Roenick.
And always such an exemplary player on the ice as well. Who saw this coming? I mean, really.
17 hits later. I saw it coming.
Sarah, your thoughts on the stand-up behavior from Mr. Yes. Roenick?
Every straight person I know talks about banging their coworkers on the most popular hockey podcast by far, except for ours. So, Jeremy, come on our podcast.
Yet.
Be anti-straight with me. I personally hate the straights. Let's go.
I swear to God. It's just, it is the constant shit that women are supposed to say is fine and okay is mind-blowing to me. Yeah.
It was cool that Catherine said that it wasn't okay, even though they are friends.
Yeah.
Hashtag friends. Hashtag friend zone. Yeah. And like, here's the thing. Like, that was part of his defense originally. Like, she said it was fine. But the reality is, when women are put in that position, they don't often have the backup to even think it's okay to say it's not fine.
Yeah.
So with all respect to Catherine Tappan, who's amazing, that's not a dig on her, but like, women aren't just going to go, yeah, you totally made me uncomfortable with that sexually harassing talk. It's just not a thing that happens. So.
Yeah. And also, add in, I don't listen to the podcast that this was on. Definitely do not. But I have friends who I frown upon who do listen to the podcast. And they were saying that, like, he insisted on telling this story. That it sounded like they were even like, you don't need to tell this story. And he was like, no, let me tell you it. It's so fucking good. Let me tell you the story. And like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? You're probably not thinking. Let's be real. You are not thinking. And if you are thinking, your thoughts are not good. If this is what's on your mind and being like, let me tell this to the world. This is my friend. Let me stress this. But like, I mean, what goes through your head? You had numerous chances, it sounds like, to not tell the story. You tell the story. You deal with the repercussions of telling the story. If the shoe was on the other foot, it would not be at like a waiting period. Probably like, yeah, we're fucking done with her. She's gone. But no, you got the benefit of the doubt for 3.2 minutes before you lost your job. Shut up. Take it like a man. Take losing your job. You will get something else somewhere else if you weren't such a salty baby over it. And just fuck the hell off. Like, this is just... Someone's
you're being sexist against men, Shayna.
You're anti-man.
I hate men. And then someone's not all bad.
There are too many of them.
Too many.
Like, seriously, think about thinking that is, like, the best story you have to tell in the world.
You have best stories.
No offense, but, like, let's think about how many brain cells he has. Like, not many.
And how many are fighting. So they're tied up in this battle. On an even bigger scale... and this is a constantly evolving story. I hate to say that probably by the time this gets released in less than 12 hours, we already may not be up to date, unfortunately, in all seriousness, on all the facts. But our other big entry into the shit list, Shayna, walk us through.
MLB sucks. Well, okay, we can go two ways with this, too. Two current things. One, they suspended Joe Kelly, which was a thing. He's a pitcher on the Dodgers. Hold on, this is good.
I know.
I thought you were like,
I'm aware, I didn't pay attention to this news event.
Joe Kelly is a pitcher on the Dodgers. They're playing the Astros, that team that cheated to win, indeed. Everyone knows it. No players were suspended for that, keep in mind. So he was taunting them. And yes, he was throwing pitches. They could have hit players. It could have been really bad. Suspend him for it. I have no issue with that. But the fact that you're throwing an 8-game suspension at this player for taunting them, probably to set a send a message and set a precedent, like, please, let's be nice to the Astros because they're the team that fucking deserves it. It's unreal. It's unreal that they're like, we're going to throw 8 games at that and throw taunting into it when not a single player was suspended for cheating on their way to win a World Series. But that's okay. So now everyone's supposed to be nice to the Astros, but I say everyone should be mean to the Astros and take the suspensions in stride. You have enough fucking money. You'll get a couple days off. It's not a big deal, especially for a pitcher. Take the suspensions and just taunt the Astros. And the other thing with it was, like, they almost brawled after that. And, like, everyone, you know, the dugouts were clearing. And people were like, oh, you know, obviously he should have been for taunting because it's going to go against socially distancing measures. But, like, have fucking restraint. You're going to be like, oh, he should have had the restraint not to taunt. You are grown men. Shut up. You don't have to get up and punch someone in the face and be mad because someone frowned at you and told you to go fuck yourself because you did cheat and you suck. So, like, the whole thing.
Sarah, did you pay attention to this?
It's so bad. Like, I loved the thing Joe Kelly put on his Instagram. It was like his kids or some kids or something, and it was actually like them. It's funny. But I don't, like, it just is another fuck up from the MLB that can't, like, this league is just the absolute worst. I can't stress it enough.
Well, and that's the one of the agents last night, she tweeted out, she's like, oh sure, you'll punish him for these infractions, but you won't punish the players who literally had financial ramifications on the rest of the league by cheating to win a whatever they call it in baseball. This is why I don't even care.
We care about the World Series when it's not the Astros winning or the cheating Red Sox, but I digress.
Chill. There you go. And then there was another aspect to the MLB. Shayna, do you want to bring us up to date on this mess? That there's a rumor that we're not 100% sure is true or not yet.
Yeah. So the MLB is one of the leagues going on without being in a bubble. They're traveling to empty arenas because that is not wasteful or anything. And the fact that it took them this long to even get this season restarted, as we talked about on prior shit lists, because that's how much the owners suck. Now everything's underway and we're what, a week into it. And we're already like, they are, I'm not part of that. They are falling apart already because players are testing positive because for one, you have them not in a bubble in their cities. And some of these cities are hotspots, like, I don't know, the entire state of Florida, which has numerous teams. And so the Miami Marlins, a bunch of players tested positive and it's been reported, and I want to see from more sources before, you know, we use this as like a finite thing, but whatever the case, they tested positive. The rumor is that they were in a bar in Atlanta. They went and played the Phillies. A player was scratched who tested positive. They still played And now every day you hear about more players testing positive. So then the Phillies, who they played, a coach has now tested positive, and they literally had to restructure the schedule because one team was supposed to go to Philly and play in the locker room, the Yankees, where the Marlins just were, and the Marlins were supposed to go to Baltimore. So now the Yankees and the Marlins, the Yankees and the Orioles are playing each other. No one knows what to do with the Marlins and the Phillies because the Marlins are all sick, basically, because great job spreading that. And then now you have it with the Phillies. So everything's in jeopardy, but they claim a bubble wouldn't have worked because they clearly explored it. If they said we can't go to training camp places, which are Arizona and Florida, and those would be our best chances at a bubble, I'd be like, I hear you, but literally go anywhere else. Like, go the Yankees and Mets stadiums. There you go. Go in a bubble. Take breaks so you can go see your family after a month, do something. But traveling in this economy, idiots.
Sarah.
How could anybody ever think that was going to work? I just want to know how, like, anybody. And then now they're letting people vote.
I know.
Vote on if they can go to Miami. More Miami Marlins are tested positive for COVID than the entire city of Toronto yesterday. So what are we doing? Stop. Like,
the city of Toronto, which isn't even allowing the MLB to play there despite having a team that belongs there, because they don't want all of these players coming in, because who would want them?
Correct. So congratulations to our newest shitless entries. There's plenty more coming.
Yeah, it was a tough decision, but you made the cut.
Again.
We should build trophies, you guys, and like literally fucking send them to these people. Congratulations.
I'm sure. A biannual shit list of the 6 months period.
Yeah.
Shayna, get on that for merch. We need a little trophy.
Winning now? We have the Sabres. They're up there. And the Bruins. The Sabres and the Bruins definitely were high up there. But I think MLB, we've talked shit about more because of like everything leading up to their return to play, which is up in flames now. So
give it time. Give it time. Yeah. In that interim, design those trophies. Listeners, we'll take submissions for designs. We'll see what wins out there. All right. In our bit of news, the segment I'm continuing to demand happen, Sarah's favorite bit of news. We actually have cool bit of news. I'm all focused on women's sports, which I may note have exceedingly done well managing against the COVID pandemic. It's almost like women know how to do things the right way. But I digress. Shayna, take us through the major women's leagues right now and tell us some accomplishments, some progress, some announcements.
So first, we have the National Women's Soccer League, which just finished their tournament. We have the winners, the Houston Dash. Congrats to them. And congrats to the league as a whole, who put on a whole tournament with, wait for it,
what?
Zero tests that were positive. Like, keep in mind, a team did pull out, did not get to go because they went to a bar and it was a whole thing. That was Orlando.
Sure.
But once they were in the bubble, they kept things good and were able to play through. So, you know, good for them. We have the WNBA. They started. They have really upped everything with their social justice. They've been like such a lot of the players have been so active, and there are some who aren't even competing to continue fighting for social justice because they don't want, you know, there to be a distraction from what should be going on in sports to provide that. So when it comes to having messages on their jerseys and selling merch and wearing it, and making sure the world everyone knows who is watching that Black Lives Do Matter. Like, it's important to keep it up and not just keeping it as a moment. They're showing the whole movement. So definitely kudos to them for everything they've done. And
some great play already.
Yeah.
Great sport to watch. I'm digging in.
I don't even like basketball and I like it. So it just turns out I don't like men's basketball.
Exactly. Who wants to watch men play sports anyway?
I like the women's.
Who cares, as all the men with one follower would say.
And their viewership, as you alluded to earlier, has been really great. They started on ESPN. It was the Liberty playing the Seattle Storm. And now we're going to see more games nationally broadcast, which rightfully so.
Amen. And our final women's league.
Oh, the NWHL has announced that they are pushing their start till at least January 2021, which makes sense because they are not full-time players like everyone else. They can't go to a bubble. They have other jobs. And so they're putting a pin in it until then. And that delays the new addition, Toronto, getting started. But, you know, great decision.
Perfect. Sarah, so much talk of women's sports. We've already spent so much time. What were we thinking? But what is any thoughts on these leagues and what they've done right so far?
I mean, of course, well, I saw Kyrie Irving donated $1.5 million to make sure the WNBA players who opt out for whatever reason can opt out. And my feelings are so conflicted on him because I felt like he ruined my Celtics, but I'll have to like him for this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. And as Shayna said, and we know, and if you're paying attention, the women, particularly in the WNBA, were making these statements far before it was cool, far before it was a national movement. Yeah. So we want to recognize the WNBA athletes for being front runners in making sure we all pay attention to how we can make our world better. With that, guys, the NHL made it to the bubble.
It's like that thing with, what's that guy, Paul Rudd? And it's like, who would have thought we'd get here? Not me. Look at us.
we are not in fact here, but the players, 51 people from each team are in fact there. And since we can't be there, we're getting some limited availability via Zoom. There are NHL.com reporters in the bubble. So there's that.
That whole thing.
And people wonder why it matters. I'll give you a simple example, is that Kadri last night made a comment about, well, Shayna, you tweeted out the GIF. Explain the scene on the ice, if you could, before the Colorado game yesterday.
Yeah, so all these teams, they're doing, so the league is doing the We Skate For, which is about COVID relief, social justice, and the Oilers are using that for COVID.
One bucket is fine.
One bucket. Throw it all together. We Skate For, because that's as far as our vocabulary can go. And what's creativity? And really caring and everything else, but you know, I digress. So the players have been standing arm in arm during the national anthems, standing, not kneeling. And no, it is not
for your service.
It's very hard for hockey players to kneel. I mean, they never do that in that game.
Never in warmups. You never see players talking, kneeling, anything like that.
Never,
God forbid.
Never happens. Go ahead.
Never. So here you have four players who are your only players who aren't white. You know, you have their black players and from different descents. You have Kadri, Jordan Greenway, Bellemare, and Dumba. Sorry, I had to like remember. I'm like, which game was this again? Hockey. I'm not rusty. Definitely not at all. But so the four of them stood together, and everyone else stood as all the teams have been doing. And I get giving these players a moment to stand together and let the focus be on them. I hear you, if that's what your argument's going to be. But it looks a little bit funny that they're the players standing together and every white player standing around them, not even one could like put your fucking hand on his shoulder, stand behind them, stand next to them, stand like.
Behind them would have been a good idea.
Yeah, sure, we are with you. You want to show solidarity? Maybe don't stand away from the players who are actually dealing with this on a daily basis and show an ounce of compassion, but instead it's best to let them stand and deal with it alone, because they're the only players who will even face questions on this. Because why ask a white teammate what he's doing to support his black teammate? Just ask the black teammate what he's doing to, you know, live his daily life as a person that isn't white.
And we have a story. Oh, sorry. We have a story coming out with Slavin, because he recently adopted a little adorable baby, and she is of color. And he has talked a lot about how kind of it's opened his eyes and how he's doing a lot of work, just kind of like in seeing how wrong he was about certain things. And that'll be an interesting story, but it's not enough asking white teammates what they're doing to support. And then the whole thing with, did you guys see the Bruins released a statement, then Tuukka Rask had a Boston police hat on, and to his credit, I don't think that he meant to do that, but it still just looked like very bad. So then Matt Porter of the Boston Globe tweeted like, here's this. And then Brad Marchand was like, what the fuck, Porter? And then deleted it. But it's like, ooh, like that's not how we talk about this. So there's a long way to go.
And that was the story too, that I wanted to share from a media perspective. And so again, people have commented to me about why are reporters unhappy to not be in the bubble? And Nazem Kadri, after the game that Shayna outlined, made, I thought, really solid on point comments saying he hoped for more, and said he included to hope for more from the NHL. Well, that last part is removed from the video and is not in the report. So this is why objective reporting helps, particularly on far more important stuff than did you play for a full 60 minutes and just did what you could to help your team. I mean, there's other stuff that objective reporting can help us flesh out. But there we are. But yes, games are being played in the bubble. We are playing warm-up or exhibition or whatever the heck we're calling these things. But by this weekend, my friends, there will be actual meaningful play occurring on the ice. So we, the three of us, thought it would be fun to do kind of a quick lightning round predictions, matchup by matchup.
No pun intended.
Did you see that game? Oh my God, other thoughts. A speed round of who's going to win each round. So we will start in the West because our Western listeners always remind us we can focus there more. So let's give them the first shots. Sarah, I will start with you. Winner and quick reasons why for Edmonton, Chicago.
Edmonton, because they have to. Right. Come on, come on, come on. That's all.
Shayna.
Yeah, Edmonton. I think if the Blackhawks didn't trade Robin Lehner, I'd feel a little bit better. And that's not a knock at Corey Crawford, but like to have a really strong goaltending tandem, I think would help, especially because like Crawford did had COVID before this too.
And yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, so less preparation. And the Blackhawks are, they shouldn't even be here. So
you don't even go here.
Yeah. Draisaitl and McDavid, literally. I don't think you can like run with just like three good players, but I think that you can get through a 5-game series against a not actually good team. And then the Blackhawks will win the first overall pick.
God bless America. Sarah, next matchup.
Wait, what about you?
Oh, yeah, shit, what? Sorry. Oh my God.
I forget.
What about you?
I pick Edmonton because like, seriously, like, Chicago was one of the teams where I was like, you basically had already admitted you weren't going to make it, and now you're in because you're in a big market. So Edmonton, yep. do the thing. Sarah.
What's up?
Nashville, Arizona. Go.
Like, none of the above. Arizona, because they're motivated after Sean Chyka quit on the team. God. Like that read like something my like
not a soap opera NHL not a soap
yeah
opera. Not a soap
my opera. High school coach would have said after like we got arrested for underage drinking like I can't so they have something to prove.
Shayna, your pick.
I'm gonna go with Nashville. I don't like John Hines personally as a coach. I don't think he's like a great coach, but I think that they have a good enough forward core, especially if they actually play their top players a lot. And while their goalies were trash this year, like we know that they can be good and they have good defense. And I think Arizona has two good goalies and not enough else. So I am not confident in them.
I am going to go with Arizona because I liked them when they started the season and it was goalie injuries that kind of started their slide.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm going to go with Arizona and also because chaos.
Yeah. It's also like Taylor Hall, like he's in the playoffs. Let's go.
And Phil Kessel, let's talk about his part in the run for the Pens.
I forgot
Phil Kessel. I don't know where half the people play anymore. It's a whole mess.
It really is.
Sarah.
Yes.
The Vancouver Canucks versus the Minnesota Wild. Your thoughts?
Oh, definitely the Canucks. And I know what happened yesterday, but I think you can't say anything about an exhibition game. And I think the Wild don't really make sense in this at all. And then people are going to say like, oh, that's what, like, they're actually good. Like I hate predictions because everyone's like, oh, no matter if you are right or you're wrong, it's always, oh, like that kind of thing. So I think in conclusion, the Canucks are going to win because it makes sense. And I think Pettersson's so good.
Mm-hmm. Shayna.
Yeah, Minnesota, like, was another team that I don't think they expected to be here. Like, they traded Jason Zucker, and that's, like, a key player you'd want for a playoff run. And I feel like with better goaltending, maybe they'd be there. I think their goaltending this year has been, like, not great. And it's both goalies have just not been great. That would worry me. And Vancouver, like, they can rely on their goaltending can win you a 5-game series if you're relying on that. And they do have a good top six. I don't love their bottom six, but I feel like
yeah,
they definitely have some good young players that it's I don't.
Well, now Ferland might be back. Like, what's up with that?
Oh yeah, I forgot. I literally forgot about him too because he hasn't played in so long. I'm thinking like Miller, Besser, and like Pettersson, but like, yeah, that's another good player to have.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm picking Vancouver because I do like that team. And also, like, the Minnesota Wild, the most notable thing they did last year was fire their head coach. Like, there's nothing notable about them.
Exactly.
They had a good offseason. They fired Paul Fenton.
Well, I said last season, not off-season. It's a year on Thursday that happened. So I also go Vancouver. Last Western matchup, we have saved the best for last, potentially. Sarah, the Flames of Calgary versus the Jets of Winnipeg.
The Flames, the Jets, it's literally just Connor Hellebuck and an empty arena. Like, that's it. So we're going to go with the Flames.
Shayna?
That's the toughest of the West. Yeah, that's the toughest of the West. I know we looked at it. Winnipeg has, like, the lowest odds on, like, numerous models.
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, because goaltending. And, like, they should be better than their defense is just meh because of, like, everything with, like, Bufflin and how that all went down. But like, yes. I feel like with a good defenseman, like one more, they'd be good enough. But I just don't, the Flames are just, I always liked them. And then, cause I thought they were fun and then they got like a little less fun, but I'm going to give it to the Flames. Right, I'm going to give it to the Flames.
Right. I'm going Flames all the way. Switching to the East, my friends. We'll switch up the order. Shayna, you're first. Montreal, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Montreal's not good. Montreal doesn't belong here. Sorry. You don't go here either. And they can't. Carey Price, like, is still a great goaltender. He's not this elite generational goalie that everyone paints him out to be. But he's, you know, but he hasn't been. If he's not on, they're kind of screwed. And, like, Pittsburgh is healthy. You could put me next to Sidney Crosby and Crosby would probably be dragging me up the ice and I'd still manage a couple points. So like, I mean, and Jake Gensel's healthy and he already looks good. Yeah, that I'm like, yeah, all right. Yeah. And John Marino is healthy and he did not get the attention he deserved this year outside of like Pittsburgh. Like he could have, if he was healthy, he would have been probably number two of like my Calder pick. So
the poor under attentive paid to the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's
well, that's the thing. That's it. Cause we all hear Pittsburgh. I mean, Shayna. I just like John Marino. The rest of the Penguins, I don't really care, but I do like John Marino. You know, good NCAA defenseman coming up, doing the thing with that other one that didn't get a Calder nod.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, Sarah, yeah. Your choice.
That's pretty disrespectful to Zach Aston-Reese, my favorite player in the NHL. But I do think when he said he told the Montreal media that he didn't know who was on the
That was amazing.
Habs first line, I'm like, Penguins in two. Penguins in two.
I will pick Pittsburgh because yes, Montreal, you seriously, like you sold like everything and you were not planning on being in the postseason. You had already given in, you had already turned in your cards and your chips and walked away from the table and headed to the bar. So it's over.
They literally didn't even go to Montreal until like they absolutely had to, because nobody like thought it was going to happen.
This one, I have thoughts after watching the games the other day. Shayna, Islanders, Florida.
Oh, I want to know your thoughts. Okay. I'm going with the Islanders. And yes. The thing with the Islanders is, like, they were not a great team going into it, and they could have missed the playoffs. It had this not been, like, you know, expanded because of, like, their downturn. And they need to, like, score goals, which is not a tough concept, but, you know, evidently it is for some teams. But their whole thing is defensive structure, and they have good goaltending to back it up and healthy. Adam Pellick is huge for that. And Casey Cizikas and Cal Clutterbuck are back. So it's, like, there's a lot of good things going on with them that is, you know, they can play to their strengths now. And then you have Florida, who does not have, they have very expensive goaltending. Does it? I don't know.
Did you watch the game yesterday?
I did. And I'm like, wow, Bobrovsky, you look good, but you're not playing good. So, you know, and I like Florida's top six. And I think they have a really good first pair. Yeah, I know. I talk with my hands. I know. But like, Ekblad and Uyghur are two players I would never peg to be like, oh yeah, great first pair, but like they have been. It's just everything else is bad. So defense below that, shitty goaltending and no forward depth. I'm like, no, you can't. Even if it's against the Islanders, you can't.
Please do not disrespect Lucas Walmark in this household.
Oh my God, I forgot he's there. Yeah,
I did too.
This whole
I did
episode,
too.
Sarah reminded me who is in the league.
It's a primer about who is in the NHL because we're girls and we don't know. But
yeah. What are sports?
Lucas Walmart. Yes, he's the best. But other than that, I think Florida. Bob, I don't know, Allison, maybe you can help us decompress this. I don't know, but I don't trust him. That's it.
Yeah. I look, the defense in front of him is completely different. I think it was the second goal where I was like, he's just not used to having to stop that because that shot never gets to him with the defense he grew up in. But and listen, I think it's really hard. My personal take is that this is going to be hardest for goaltenders to come back because you can't, like, to stay in goalie shape is different than staying in skater shape.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't think Bob looked his best. And I thought, I mean, Florida, their saving grace was supposed to be offense, and they couldn't get one goal.
Yeah, exactly.
Against whoever the hell they played yesterday, Tampa Bay. Come on. So I'm going with the Islanders in that series. Yes. Because it's the two of you, we'll let you two go last. So the next series we'll do, Shayna, is Toronto, the Blue Jackets of Central Ohio. Go.
Columbus Broken Jackets are healthy. And
they are.
While I think Toronto could win so they could lose in actual round one, I would love it. I would just love it if Toronto lost in round one, before round one, just for the chaos of it. It's a fun matchup because you have the team known for their offense versus the team for their defensive structure. And I think it makes for something really interesting because if the Blue Jackets can score goals, you got something there. And if Toronto has the firepower to get past Columbus's blue line, but then you still have good goalies, you know, big Elvis fan over here that I'm like, I like Toronto's chances for it. And I'd like to see some Columbus analysis go past a potential 5-game series. So I am rooting for the Columbus, the team, because I want to see Columbus analysis throughout the playoffs so I can copy your ideas and put them on my own team because you inspire half my articles.
Well, that's very sweet. Your check is in the mail.
Thank you.
Sarah, your pick for this series?
Well, come on. Seth Jones is back. This is going to be probably one of the best series of the whatever the hell this is. I think.
Play-in, whatever.
Play-in, but it still counts as playoff stats. So you know what?
That's so dumb. Ugh.
It's postseason, but not playoffs. And it's just
Rod Brindamore is like, you can call it whatever you want. It's the playoffs. And I'm like, thank you, Rod. That's exactly what it is. But
put it on a t-shirt.
We love his logic.
Genuinely don't know. This is what I'm going to be watching the most other than the Hurricanes. And I'm excited. Like, I refuse to do a prediction because I'm just excited to watch it, you know?
Excellent. I like that. I also agree with both. I think this and then the series between the Rangers and Carolina are going to be the two best series to watch. Also because, as you guys know, I don't stay up super, super late to watch the super, super late West Coast games. It's hard for me. I think it's going to come down to goaltending, honestly. I don't know. I do right now give Toronto the slight edge, but after Columbus plays Boston, if their defense is locked in and Zach Greinke is playing like he was playing in training camp because he was on fire, like he went right back to it, Columbus might surprise some people, but I think it's going to be great, great hockey.
Oliver Bjerkstrand's going to be the, you know, everyone's going to notice him now because if they play the Leafs, then they suddenly count. You know, that's how you become known in the league. And
how does it affect the Leafs? That's what we need to know. All right, guys. Shayna, you're first. Rangers, Hurricanes. Go.
Well, you know what? If Hamilton was healthy, I'd say Canes, hands down. But with no Hamilton, no Pesci at all in this series, I think it's going to – you're asking Slavin to – and I like the rest of Carolina's blue line, but you're asking Slavin to do a lot because Panarin and Zibanejad don't play together. They're two really good lines. And, like, I really liked what I saw from, like, their depth. Like, I said it all year. It sucks, you know? They don't have it. They don't have a fourth line. Their third line's a mess. But, like, Hela and Kako, if they're going, I think it could be a good thing. They have really good goaltending, too. So it's, like, their problem is their defense. So if, like, Trouba's on his game, it's the Rangers. I think if Trouba's on it and the third line, like, does anything besides just standing there, you know, like, if they do something, it's the Rangers that are going to win the series. But, like, I think this is going to be a really tough one because you have such different teams. And, like, have the Corsi Canes versus the Rangers, who are like always in like the bad corner. We may win, but we may die. So, like, if Hamilton were healthy, I'd give it to the Canes, but because he's not, I'm going to give it to the Rangers. And yes, I know I'm biased, but I think that.
Sarah, your rebuttal.
Okay, well, Trouba to the Rangers is Mrazek to the Hurricanes in that scenario. Like, if he is on, and it's kind of concerning, no offense to James Reimer, who is a beauty, but if people want him to be, like, the starter, then we're already having kind of a problem. Like, he's a fine backup, but, like, there's a goalie controversy now, and it's legit. Like, nobody's wrong, but it's like Mrazek really needs to shut everybody up and be like, okay, I know I'm a legitimate starter, and this needs to be his, like, coming out party is that. So if that's like a 5-game plan, that's a perfect stage to do that. And if he doesn't do that, obviously that's over for the Hurricanes. But I do say Hurricanes in 5.
Ooh, we got a number of games now.
Wait, yeah, actually,
I think it's going the full length.
Yeah, yeah. It's either that or it's going to be a sweep, right? And well, I guess there's only 3 options. Like, hot takes here. But it'll be interesting. You know what I thought? Somebody brought up in the comments yesterday, which was smart. Aho usually takes like a month to actually get going. Like, I remember last year, it literally took a month for him to get his first goal. And it's been like a pattern his whole career. So he's going to need to speed that up to like 1.5 days. So
that's tough.
It's like, it's going to be tough to see if Aho can kick it up a gear without like having the patience that we usually need to have with him. So we'll see, but I think Kane's in 5.
See, wait, your goalie point, like, that's part of the reason, like, I would say the Rangers, because like, while you're saying like, well, if Mrazek can't, there's Reimer. If Shesterkin can't, there's that guy Henrik Lundqvist. So
yeah, exactly. That's where I'm like, I've been told.
Oh
yeah, he's old, horrible, but you know, what do you think? Tiebreaker here.
I am going with the Hurricanes. I just have to go with body of work. And with all due respect to the Rangers, they're just not there yet as a complete team. And I think that that's going to bite them.
Oh, yeah.
Even without Doug. And we don't know if and when Dougie's coming back. Right, Sarah?
Sorry, I'm muted. you just saw the spirit fingers. My sources have indicated that it's not completely out of the question for him to be back this series, but it's unlikely. So they need to prepare like he's not gonna be back. And it's not like the blue line is terrible without him, but it's just not Norris caliber. He's so good. And then Pesci, Slavin's also obviously one of the best, but I think like Pesci's right in that conversation and he doesn't get enough credit. And Slavin will be the first to tell you that. And then Dougie is Dougie. Like, he can completely change the complexion of a game. But Sammy Vatanen's been pretty good too, but it's just not Dougie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did what they hung in without Dougie, even after he got hurt. This is my little.
But they hung in like it.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, but like it's the Rangers. Come on, I mean, no offense.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the Canes were allowing more shots and quality chances like at the end there, and like they were ticking up while the Rangers were actually going in the other direction. And like, I'm not sure they can pick up where they left off. And like, knowing the Rangers, I'd be like, no, they can't. It'll take them some time. This is a young team. But like
Artemi Panarin had no shots yesterday.
It's okay.
Okay.
I
legitimately, now listen, you know, I've watched that man as well. Like,
yeah,
that shocked the hell out of me. That's not.
No, it did. Right. It did. Yeah. And it doesn't surprise me the Islanders focusing in on him as much, because I think their first game against each other this year, he had 5 points. And so like they really took it up a notch their next game against him too. Like, they have that shutdown blue line with players like Pulock and Pellick. And the other thing with him that doesn't worry me so much is, like, last year in preseason, he got hurt in the first game and didn't play the rest of preseason. And he was completely fine game one. So, like, I feel like he's not someone that needs as much to get him going. So I'm hoping that can hold true. And I would guess if he's not going, they change up the line and flip Kako with Foss, which they practiced yesterday during the game, and they looked good. That I'm like, I feel like if he's not going, they'll get him going fast.
I feel like adjustments and everything is going to be so like much more important than it has ever been. And we're going to really see coaching and training staffs and stuff like this, like either shine or flail.
I feel like we're going to need a whole special episode just to break down the Hurricanes Rangers series once it's over, because
we shall.
There's going to be thoughts.
And let's do a Toronto too, with Toronto Columbus. Like, let's get both of our series in there.
Yeah,
we'll have to have a Toronto guest on. You can't talk about Toronto without having someone who knows Toronto, Shayna.
We can tell Dom or someone and be mean to him the whole time again.
We need to talk about Taylor Swift with Dom.
Okay, this is true. All right, so we'll see if Dom will join us for a Leafs Jackets recap. All right, we've missed it, you've missed it. We wrap, as always, with fuck, marry, kill. We have three submitted by our listeners. We love our listener-submitted categories. They're much better than what we usually come up with. Sarah, you're on the hot seat first for our first fuck, marry, kill. I feel that you can handle this one. I feel you've got the thoughts ready to go. Fuck, marry, kill, the COVID return plans for the NHL, the NBA, and the MLB. Go.
Okay, kill the MLB. Holy shit. Like, as I said before, the Marlins had more positive cases of COVID than the entire city of Toronto yesterday. It's just, how did anybody ever think the bubble? They have millions of dollars. They're doing nothing with it except hoarding it and not giving a bubble to players. I mean, Canada was so smart and being like, oh, fuck this. We're not participating. And then they were, even after that, they were like, okay, we'll just like keep I don't even really know what happened. They're just like, all right, we're gonna just keep going without this franchise. And then I will fuck the NBA because they at least had comic relief with like the food selections that first day, and also like they're doing a lot with social justice, I feel like, and they're letting their players, as usual, express themselves. And I'm going to marry the NHL. Can't believe it. We're here. They did it. I guess I can believe it. I mean, it was also safe when I was there for training camp. Like, it made me think, wow, they really got a handle on this. So good job, guys. You're nice and dependable, but I might cheat on you because you're boring.
Shayna, go.
So I'm going to kill the MLB's plans because I don't know what you're thinking. That's bad. The whole thing.
That's
pretty terrible. Like, you're weakened and you're falling apart. No, no, you did something wrong. And when you were, it's not that even you were called on being wrong. There's no way around, like, that you can't say anything besides you were wrong. And they still double down on like, oh, we couldn't bubble. So fuck off.
We couldn't bubble. Bubble's a verb now. I like it.
I will fuck the NBA. I think I don't like the idea of anyone being in Florida unnecessarily. And that's like my big thing. You look at like the MLS going, like, don't go to the state that has handled things the worst in the country just about. Like, don't go there. I get it.
Facilities.
Yeah. Don't do it. So, and also the whole thing, did you guys see about like Lou Williamson leaving the bubble?
Yeah.
And the whole strip club wings. And now that's a whole thing that I'm like, I enjoy the storyline of it. I think it's stupid as hell, but I think it's really funny because, like, let's be real. You don't need to go to a strip club to get some. You can probably open your phone secretly, do whatever you want. But, you know, what do I know? So, yeah, the chaos of it, of that, I'll fuck. But I still think it's not smart to be in Florida. And then I will marry the NHLs. And I've been, like, super critical of their return to play with everything.
Famously.
Yeah. But it's, like, they're like in a real life version of Zach and Cody, the way that they're in the hotel with like, they have the golf simulators in rooms, which like, whatever, that's boring, but like the video games, and then they have basketball courts to go play on, and they had the soccer field there, and they have all these like toys to, I don't know, I think that's kind of fun. So I will give them credit for that, and I will marry them as a result.
I will kill the MLB because for fuck's sake, people, what the hell are you doing? And I have nothing new to add other than what my wonderful co-hosts have already said. I'm actually going to marry the NBA because they are having some fun with it. There is a little bit of controversy, a little bit of spice. Like, we're not going to get settled into too much of a routine. To Sarah's point, they are allowing the players to do a little bit more in terms of expressing themselves with what's going on in the world. I love the drama of like, depending on which hotel you're in, based on where your standings are, like, bring me more of that. And I have enjoyed the fact that there are reporters in the bubble. I just think it helps coverage of any sport a little bit better. And I will fuck NHL because it's 2.0. It's not for long term. And here we are. And it is what it is. Give me some personality, NHL. Give me something. Give me something to believe. See, well, that's what I'm here for. All right, speaking of the bubble, We have three bubble activities. Shane already mentioned one of them, to fuck, marry, kill. So Shayna, you're first. Fuck, marry, kill as bubble activities, the golf simulator, poker, or Catan.
Okay. I'm going to kill the golf simulator because I fucking... No, I like the idea of like having a simulator. I hate golf. I wish it was like a batting cage. I can't even swing a golf club.
In a hotel. A batting cage in a hotel.
No, a fake one, like a simulator.
Okay.
You're not hitting a... Do you hit a ball?
I think you do.
Oh, still. I hate golf. I tried. I went to the driving range and it was like the worst. I hated it. Like 2 minutes in, I was like, can we leave? I hate this. Because I couldn't even do it right. That I'm like, this sucks. I'm not the most coordinated, but I hate golf. So I'm killing it. Maybe I'd feel differently if I was there and that's like something I had to play with, but like, no. I will fuck Catan. I don't even know what it is, but I love board games. So here for that. And I will marry poker because I actually genuinely do like poker and that there's so many different games that you can play. And like, I'm sure it'd be fun, like betting and things like that with everyone. Like so many players know how to play too. That is something that like you can literally do with so many different people. And like, it's interesting every night because you have a lot riding on it when you bet and stuff.
Not that we condone betting, heaven forbid.
Oh no.
No.
I've never bet in my life.
Never.
Sarah.
All right. The options are Catan,
poker,
golf and poker.
Golf simulator. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to kill Catan because I hate board games. I wish I liked them. I was talking to my therapist and she was like, well, maybe you hate quarantine because you are doing all these things that you've always hated. I was like, that's definitely true. Like I can't sit here and do this stuff. So we're killing that. We are fucking poker because it's fun sometimes, but, you don't want to do it too much, then I will marry golf because golf is fun. I like golf. I'm horrible at it. There's a commercial for like one of those golf simulator places where I'm in and it just has the worst swing.
What?
Oh my God, it's hilarious. I'll send it to you guys after the show. Yes, but yes, I will marry golf. It's fun.
That was like the anti-Shayna response, like just so much variance.
You guys just like teaming up on me. Go for it. I'm ready for it.
Just chill, slow your roll. Mm-hmm. I'm killing golf because I hate golf. Golf Yay! Is fucking dumb. And
I've
never played it. I hate it. It's boring. When you watch it on TV, you can't even see the stupid ball.
It's the worst.
Don't bring me the golf, people, ever. Come at me, bro, with your comments and takes. It's fine. Here's what. If I'm in a bubble, I'm actually going to marry Catan because even though I have no fucking clue what it is, it would be something to learn. So it would take a lot of time and it would be new and different and interesting. So I would probably get the least bored of it first. So I'm going to marry Catan for that reason. And I'm going to fuck poker because poker's fine for me for like a short period of time, but I can't handle it. I'll play euchre, but I don't want to play poker. So those are mine. All right, we have come to our final fuck, marry, kill. This might be the most important content this podcast has ever put out.
Can't wait.
Sarah Sivian, you must go first. We need your guidance on this one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Fuck, marry, kill, Taylor Swift albums. Your
Hell
choices
yeah.
are Reputation, Lover, Folklore. Go.
All right. Well, Folklore is the best one, but I'm going to marry... do I have to do this in order? No, whatever. I'm going to marry Reputation because little do people know I met Taylor Swift.
It's my
and
favorite thing.
When I met her, I hugged her and she smelled like heaven. And I go, holy shit, it's Taylor Swift. And she laughed. And then I was like, I just wanted to say, I was like shaking and sweating. And I was like, your album Reputation really got me through a hard time with a boss and with men and I'm a hockey reporter and I just started babbling and she was like, wow, I didn't think people would relate to that. I guess I'm glad you did, but also that sucks. And I was like, oh my God, thanks Taylor Swift. So we're marrying
that.
Was
tell how you got to go backstage. Who picked you to go backstage?
Her mom, because all the Gen Z Zoomers were on their cell phones while me and my best friend were screaming the lyrics to every song at Gillette Stadium. And her mom came up to us and was like, would you like to meet my daughter? And I was like, well, my friend is like an absolute obsessed with Taylor Swift, and she's like sitting there on the floor crying at this point because she knew it was her mom. And I'm like, well, she does. And she's like, well, do you? I was like, yeah, I do. And then the rest is history. And all right, I'll marry folklore. It's very sad, but yeah. It's so mature. Like, in the, I knew when she wrote with the National, it's going to be like, I'm going to cry. I'm like, totally. I'm literally can't stop crying to it. And I'm like happy in my life right now, but I don't even, it's just like sad. And I will kill Lover. I just, the pop songs. No, like I loved a lot. And Cruel Summer might be my favorite song of hers of all time. Yes. But the songs she chose as singles were like brutal. Like, terrible. I don't like them, but she usually does that, but whatever.
Yeah. Not, I am not a fan of Cardigan. Sit with that one while Shayna answers. Go, Shayna.
My answer's not going to be very good because.
You don't care, do you?
No, I just don't listen to that much of Taylor Swift. I've been looking up her album so I know which is which just now.
She's been looking up the album so she knows which is which.
Well, because like I know some of the songs from them, but I don't know like where they belong. I don't listen to Taylor. I don't even have Taylor Swift on my drunk playlist. So like, I think maybe there's one song of hers on
Getaway
the playlist.
Getaway Car. Listen
else.
To me. Put Getaway Car on your drunk playlist.
Oh my God.
Okay. It'll change your life. Okay.
Screaming the words to that one.
Give us your answers.
Cut that out. Go with all the
and the man. Listen to the man. You will love it.
Come on.
We're sending you a playlist. Go, Shayna. Okay. Answer us with your fictitious answer, not based in solid research. Go.
Well, I'm gonna kill Lover because I did think that the singles were annoying, and I heard them on the radio a lot, and I did not like them. And maybe they had better songs, like you mentioned, that it was just those were not good choices to be like the ones headlining it because they were not good enough for me to care to listen to the album. So I will kill it. Okay. And then Reputation, I'm going to marry. That's the one she had the big tour for and a bunch of people were there. And then she would do songs with other she had like so many different people do appearances and sing their songs, her songs and things like that. And I would see like the clips from it. And I was like, okay, this was cool. So I will marry that because it seemed like a good time. And it lasted for a long time too. So, you know, that's a good marriage. And I'm going to, what's the new one called? Folklore? I'm going to fuck that one because I know jack shit about it, except for what I've seen on Twitter. But the mystery is good because if it's good, maybe I'll want to fuck it again. And if it's bad, I never have to see it again. So there you go.
Perfect.
She had a lot of people there at the concert.
What, weren't Shayna those the stadium ones? Like the big
They're stadium all stadium ones. It's Taylor fucking Swift.
Yeah, it's Taylor fucking Swift. Come on.
She had like a lot of different people. Like oh I saw God. Maron Morris did songs with
I'm
her.
I'm going to mute you.
One of them. Oh, and I like her. Yeah.
I love her. She's good.
See, I knew something.
Okay, my answers. You have swayed me slightly, and since I have to kill one, I'm going to kill Lover, although Cruel Summer and The Man are epic. Kill Lover. This is hard for me. So here's my thing with Folklore. I love it, but it is a mood, and an hour is a little bit long for the mood, right? Like, if you listen to the end
right.
songs...
We get it. We're sad.
If you listen to the songs at the end, like if you start there, they're amazing. But if you listen straight through, by the time you're there, you're like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. So because of this, I am torn because Reputation is a seminal album. But Folklore is so good. This is terrible. I'm going to enter a polygamous relationship and marry both Folklore and Reputation and have multiple spouses.
We'll allow it for Taylor Swift.
What's that thing? A thruple. I'm a thruple. I'm a thruple with Folklore and Reputation. I can't do otherwise. All right. Thus brings us to the end of one more episode of Too Many Men. Friends, I'm so happy to be back. Are you happy
I'm
to be
so
back?
Happy to be
I'm
back.
So yay. Did we miss anything that we need to tell our wonderful community of listeners?
Just that I miss them and I love them.
Shayna pointed at the camera. You can't see
I agree. Because you remember like when
Shayna, your hair looks so good.
Thank you. I kind of fucked it up, but like it's a little greenish now and it matches my shirt.
Well, we all, as you can hear, are so thrilled to be back. We're so thrilled to have you listening. Thank you for all your support. As a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter @2_much_man. You can find our website at thetoomanymenpod.com. Please listen to us, subscribe to us, and leave a review on your favorite place to listen to podcasts, and check out our merch, which you can find the links not just on our Twitter profile, but also on our website. And barring any major catastrophe, we can't wait to be back with you next week to talk more shit list, more fuck, marry, kill, and of course, more hockey. And with that, we'll say goodbye. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Love you.
She said it. She said bye.
I did. I said I love you. But we can do another heart.
Quick. Let's do it.
Because I really gotta pee.
Leaving that in. Bye, everybody.
Bye.